Let's call the meeting to order, please. Let's have a moment of silence. Okay. Stand, please. Michelle.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, Michelle.
Mr. Ryan Cass.
Here.
Ms. Abby Gray. Here. Ms. Kathy Jones.
Here.
Ms. Melissa Anderson.
Here.
Mr. Larry Davis.
I am here.
Ms. Wendy Neal.
Here.
Ms. Francine Smith.
Here.
Ms.
Abby
Crosby.
Here.
Here. We have two new members joining us tonight. We have Abby Crosby. She's from Coyale. I know she knows about our proceedings here because I've seen her a time or two out there. So welcome aboard, Abby.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
We have Stephen Menard from Walker. I understand that Steve's been wanting to get on the library board for a good while, and he's very excited that he's been appointed.
Love the library.
So now's your chance.
That's right.
So welcome aboard.
Thank you.
So, okay, let's get started and give these two new people something to do.
Well, we're going to sit down to East Parish Library audit because our parish clerk report and our register of orders had a conflict with tonight. So we're going to I'd like to present to you Ms. Margaret Pritchard. She's with Baxley and Associates, and they handle our register of orders.
Well, thank y'all. Thank y'all for the opportunity to come and serve at Lincoln Parish Library again. I love being here. I especially love the Juby Crossing. I had to stop on the way in here, but I appreciate the opportunity to come here and serve y'all. First of all, the audit, the report was very good. They did an excellent job, and that makes my job much easier when I get to present a good report to you. So it's quite a lengthy report, so I'm going to summarize basically a couple of pages. The first page is page 12, which is our statement of debt position, which is basically a balance sheet, which is called the statement of debt position. And I'll go through some of the highlights, comparing the year 2022 to the year 2021, noting any significant increases and decreases. The first line you see where it says total assets, $20,841,682. Your total assets increased $1.7 million over last year. And the reason for the increases are thus far. Cash and cash equivalents increased $635,000. Your receivables, you see receivables ad valorem state revenue sharing, your receivables increased $238,000. Your capital assets, which is your buildings, your furniture, and fixtures, net of depreciation, capital assets increased $300,000 net. And what I wanted to point out about that is your capital assets gross was $1.3 million. You bought computers and furniture, fixtures and equipment, library collections, and building improvements. That was $1.3 million. But then once you subtract your depreciation expense for the year, $1 million, from that number, that left your net increase in capital outlay of $300,000. And your deferred, moving further down where it says net pension asset, $1,080,177. That is an actuarially determined number. That is from the parochial retirement system. That number can significantly change year to year because it is actuarially determined. And that's based upon your employees, their ages, their life expectancy, their years for retirement. So again, this number fluctuates year to year. It increased $500,000 this past year. Your deferred outflows is also an actuarially determined number based upon the parochial retirement system. That number decreased $54,000. Moving down where it says total liabilities, $697,988. Your liabilities only increased $15,000. And that was basically because of your accounts payable at year-end, just some outstanding bills at the year-end. Deferred inflows, $821,387. That number increased, actuarially determined, $212,000. So if you take your assets plus your deferred outflows, you subtract your liabilities, you subtract your deferred inflows, that leaves your net position. You see that the library's net position is $12,571,396. That number increased $1.4 million over the previous year. So that's how much the library grew, basically, in the last year. Of course, having, you know, extra cash, that gets more money to be set aside for a rainy day fund or library expansions, or, you know, whatever's needed for the future. So if we look at the next page, page 13, is our statement of activities, or basically an income statement. And this also includes depreciation, which is a non-cash item. I just wanted to point that out. Your expenses at the beginning, they're $6.3 million. Expenses actually decreased about $44,000 over the previous year, or 1%. So it was very comparable between the year 2021 and the year 2022. Well, you see program revenues there, charges for services and operating grants. The program revenues actually decreased about $15,000. But where the big significant increase was is under general revenues. You see, you have your ad valorem taxes, intergovernmental revenue, investment earnings, other general revenues, $7.6 million. Your general revenues increased $1.2 million over the previous year, mainly because our ad valorem taxes went up about $900,000. And then our other revenues went up about close to $300,000. The reason for that was because of some warranty and settlements. Construction of the Denham Springs Library, the parking lot, there were some problems with that. And then also there was a grant for some computers. So that was basically our increase in other revenue. So again, you see our expenses and the revenue. You see there's this change in net position. $1.4 million, that is your net income that you recognize for the year. So again, A plus report board, $1.4 million increase in your net position. As far as for my audit findings, I don't have any audit findings. They did an excellent job, as always, reconciling and approving and signing off on everything. I mean, everything I looked at, revenues and expenses and confirmed things, everything was in great shape. The legislative auditors also, the last couple of years, have implemented agreed-upon procedures, which we call AUPs. And with that, sometimes they're the same, sometimes they change year to year, but as far as I'm aware, they will continue each year. So I just wanted to point those out to you. They start on page 52, where you see, after page 53, and they continue on to the end of the report. These are not audit findings, these are audit, these are AUP exceptions. I have a few exceptions because their guidelines are very specific in what they want to look for. So the first exception I had was on policies and procedures. We need a little more information on sexual harassment, ethics, and purchasing. Very specific on what they're looking for. And I've actually talked to Ms. Michelle, and they said they've already taken care of that. They've already increased their policies and procedures in those areas. And the second one was on the number two was on board finance committee. Basically, in the minutes, what they're looking for there was they want to, in your minutes, state that there was a budget to actual financial statement that y'all look at and to the board meeting. So that just needs to be mentioned in the minutes. And then the next one was actually a number four, which dealt with deposits. And what they're saying on number four is that if you make a deposit, if it's less than $100, it needed to be made within one day. Or anyway, it's very specific guidelines. Anyway, I had one deposit that I looked at, and it was not made within one day. So, I mean, just an exception. Number five, they were looking for evidence of a couple of signatures or initials or invoices. So we want to make sure that not only the person purchasing may be signing it, but also, you know, management or board member signing those invoices as well. And then the last one was number 14, which dealt with the sexual harassment report. It needs to be dated February 1st of the year or earlier. So it was just simply a date. So again, these are all very easy fixes going forward. And I've already met with Ms. Rochelle before the meeting, so she's well aware, and I think they've already corrected some of those things going forward. But that just kind of summarizes my report. I know it's a big report, so I try to summarize it to not make it so painful. But if y'all have any questions, I'll be glad to entertain any questions that you may have.
Pretty well.
Sir?
We pretty well understand that much.
Yes, sir. But, you know, after you look at the report or, you know, later on, if you get home and have questions, Ms. Michelle has my number. It's also on the, in the report. Feel free to call me. Be glad to meet with you, discuss anything. On page one, this is my phone number. 225-687-6630. So I'll be glad to entertain any questions or meet with you any time to go over anything. And I also told Michelle, anytime during the year, if y'all have anything that you'd like me to be here for, I'll be glad to help.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Margaret. We appreciate you coming.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Thank y'all.
All right, next up on our agenda is Ms. Melissa Anderson. She's going to talk to us about the Southbridge.
Okay, very excited about this. That's why I joined the board. My dad's very excited about this. I just talked to a lady here that's usually at South Branch, and she homeschools, and she's like, I'm so excited about this. She says, for years, we've been wanting to go back there and have picnics and look out those big windows. So on September 5th, Director Michelle Parrish, Assistant Director Dustin Cotton, and I met with Wendy Corkin, head librarian of the South Branch Library, to discuss the nature path with the senior project manager of Baker Smith, Mr. Matthew Thornton. And Miss Wendy started working on this project and trying to implement it, I want to say at least 5 years ago, maybe longer, wrote grants on it. She's a lovely head librarian and goes above and beyond, and this is her baby. Mr. Thornton informed us that his company has already completed some of the planning pro bono in anticipation of getting this project started. He shared information he had up to this point and a map of suggested progress. He has plans to meet with the wetland permit people to get clearance and start the project as early as this fall. His intention is to have this project finished by spring. If it stays as dry as it's been all summer, we should be there. We will meet again before any groundbreaking begins. The project has plans for walking trails, a pond, and a pavilion to be used for educational purposes. The area will only be open during library hours. Therefore, we've kind of altered his original plans to access the trail by having fencing that extends to the property lines with gating to provide truck access as needed for repairs along each side of the library. This will funnel all path traffic through the library, giving the librarians better abilities to provide information such as books, maps, apps for tracking birds and identifying plants, and track path usage and needs. A discovery area of information is planned in the library by the back door where the path entrance will be. A grand opening is also planned for the end of May. We're hoping to have the local schools participate in writing and art contests, STEM projects, and 4-H CRD projects. That's community resource development. Some of the parish master gardeners have shown interest in getting involved, and we're welcoming many politicians to share in this event. Miss Wendy, the head librarian and creator of this project, is very excited to open the path and start summer reading with a running start for the coming year. So excited.
We have had the Master Gardeners reach out to us about helping to do beds. Mm-hmm. The 4-H is interested in helping, and Clark Robertson, who is the
county
agent, has already contacted us in order to get involved.
Good.
So, they have a really nice path back there. So, any questions about that?
And if you have questions of how it's being funded, can you, because people are asking.
It was actually approved, I think sometime last year, Mr. Ronnie, was it? And that is just going to come out of part of the capital outlay budget. So we have a plan through 2025 on capital outlay projects that need to, that we want to complete. This was one of them. Also, the retaining wall and the courtyard at Albany Springfield will be something that we will start at the end of the year, start looking into. Those have already been approved, and those are in the capital outlay.
So they've been budgeted for the last few years to get this done.
Yes, ma'am? So we've been discussing how to handle that. Right now, it's not going to be. It's going to be a step on. I think is what he told us,
right.
And it will only be a certain depth. And you know,
and children under 12 have to 12 and under have to be with a parent anyway. Okay. But this company does these kind of things, and as you know, all public parks and they have ponds and.
Okay.
He acted like he knew what he was going to say. Because we asked about that.
Yes, exactly. Right. Well, actually, we raised the age limit to 13. You can't be, you know, in the library without a parent at 13 now. So.
Right. Because it was, and that was one of the reasons why we want them to go through the library to get to the path so that the librarians can keep an eye on who's coming and going, and it's not just a bunch of teenagers back there romping.
Absolutely. And he talked to us about how they have to do the step to make sure that it doesn't drop off.
And it's kind of not going to be terribly deep. It's there's already an existing area. It just doesn't hold water in dry summers.
It's a strange area. So it's going to be much better. Anybody? Yes, sir?
So I think Keep Living is a beautiful one. It's you maybe help out benches or something.
Oh, absolutely.
Like that.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Yeah, mm-hmm. They sure did. Miss Kathy, Miss Linda reached out to us. I also said critter proof trash cans would be great for them because.
And who is this? It's
Louisiana
Beautiful.
Oh, lovely. Because some people, we had discussed people putting in memorial benches.
Yes.
And my next door neighbor growing up was the librarian in French Settlement. And I talked to her family and they're like, oh, yes, we would love to have a bench in memory of Miss Atchison. Miss Atchison.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Philip's my daddy's neighbor.
Okay. Taught them everything they know.
Yes,
sir. The next item on the agenda is to approve the minutes for the July 18th, 2023 regular meeting.
They're on the next page, aren't they?
Yeah.
I need a motion.
A motion to approve the minutes, or
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
I second it.
It's been moved and seconded, Michelle.
Mr. Ronnie
Mayhew? Yes.
Ms. Abby Graham?
Yes.
Ms. Kathy DeGeneres?
Yes.
Ms. Melissa Anderson?
Yes.
Mr. Larry Davis?
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Wendy Neal?
Yes.
Ms. Francine Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Abby Crosby? Mm-hmm. Okay, no problem. Is Mr. Steve Menard?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Any public comments on any of the items on the agenda? If anyone has anything they'd like to say?
No? Okay.
All right. Thank you all very much for everybody who was here. The director's report. So I did, because of what Ms. Margaret had mentioned, we need to have a copy of the budget and mention the budget at least in every meeting. So you do have an updated budget. So it's at the end of the minute. Can y'all all see it? Okay, so this is actually the amended budget. She did have specific wording now that I'm going to go back and for the next one we'll have what she wants us to say. So I'll have that for the next meeting, but as of right now, she said this will work. So this is the amended budget through December 21st, 2023. I just wanted to show y'all that we amended the budget, and the only spot that really got amended was for professional services, and that is because we added cloud cover, and that's where we pay cloud cover is under professional services. So that was an expense that was not budgeted for at the beginning of the year, and y'all approved cloud cover for the IT help, and so that comes out of that budget, so that was added. We didn't have to take anything from any line item because we do have the additional budget to cover it, so you will just see where that has been increased a little bit. And there's a few other spots that weren't any major, but that was the most major place where we increased.
So this makes them happy, what we just
This did. Makes them happy.
Yeah.
This makes everybody happy. And you do know that the November meeting will be the official budget for the coming. Very happy also. Y'all have already approved the Traverse being replaced. That's already on the for surplus. We're still using it until we can find something else from the state on state contracts. We've been looking at state contracts so far. They really don't have any vans that we can that we think is, you know, budgeted and a good price. So we'll keep looking for that. Hopefully, we will have that Traverse replaced by January or February, if not sooner, if we can get enough on the, with the car sales the way they are right now, there's only a certain amount of things on the state, for us to be able to look through, and there's just not a whole lot there. So just keeping that in mind for y'all that we will eventually be replacing that. That Traverse. We just don't want to spend a ton of money on a van, and right now there's not a whole lot out there.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
How many vehicles does the library system have?
So the library system has the bookmobile, and then we have the Traverse, which is very old, and two Dodge Caravans. One that is used for outreach that goes to like the daycares, and when outreach has to split. And the bookmobile goes one way, and the outreach van goes another way. That happens quite often. And then we have the Traverse and the Caravan that are at admin that are used for us to go between different branches, and then also for the purchasing. People use that to go buy things at vans and things like that. So we have two vehicles there, and then we have a delivery van that handles all of that. So that's all we have. You're welcome. So iPads, we had discussed that at the last meeting. Just to bring Mr. Steve and Ms. Abby up to speed on that, we received a grant for the purchase of iPads. We had to use that grant for certain things, and it was iPads, but we had to buy them according to the grant, to follow the grant. That was 1,000 iPads we had to purchase. So we are using, we've already put them in collection. That was part of what we approved last meeting. Mm-hmm. So those are being checked out now. We've had a pretty good amount of circulation. I'd say 20 to 30 since it's been rolled out.
It's
good there. So one of the things that we thought we would do to help out the school systems is we would like to, and that's going to be part of the policy that Dustin is going to present to y'all tonight. We've put together these boxes, and an educator can check out 3 of these boxes, which would be 30 iPads to use at the schools and within their classrooms. I know we have a couple of educators in here.
After I retire.
I like that idea. It would be very helpful for your English teachers and things like that who have to read certain books and they don't have enough money to purchase those books. They can, it'll come pre-downloaded with approved apps through the school board and that kind of stuff. So if y'all approve that tonight as part of policy, those will go out to educators. They will use their cards. The school systems can use their facility use cards if they have one to check them out that way, or the teacher can check them out herself on her.
And how long can she keep them?
So 6 weeks.
How long can they keep them?
6 weeks is one renewal.
Mm-hmm.
So 12 weeks.
Long enough to finish any novel.
Enough time for them to finish whatever they need to finish in class.
So,
semester,
unless
we get so popular and hold on.
So,
That doesn't interfere. So what do teachers get already? I just don't know.
As far as...
when they start the year. So typically, what does a teacher get, like, in their classrooms?
From us, I don't know.
I can tell you. We have a teacher.
I'm the technology coordinator in my school. Most teachers have student devices. I think we're a one-to-one parish for the most part, which means that every student has a laptop in maybe 6th through 12th grade.
Okay.
And some kids, you know, don't bring their chargers to school. Some kids break their devices and have to pay for them before they get replaced.
So what about the little rolling cart
that goes in the classroom? Some English teachers have a little rolling cart.
Some teachers do have carts. I know at my school,
not everybody.
We have a mix. We don't have enough devices for every student, so we have some teachers that have a cart in their classroom, and then some that, but what she's talking about, I think, we actually could use, because, like, sometimes those laptops die, because, you know, they use them all day during school, and it would be handy to have something that's easier to read on. Mm-hmm. You know, I know our English teacher had wanted a set of novels. I think it was To Kill a Mockingbird. And I had to go around to all the different libraries and, you know, try to piece them together. I think we needed like 22. Like, I think I got 16, and then I got some from Walker High. I had to borrow it to kind of make it up for her. But it would have been nice to be able to have the iPads and just go to the classroom.
So,
and just check
will
them out.
They check the books out through the library?
They will check them out through Cloud or wherever they need.
We have enough copies that they...
So, especially something like what Fran's talking about, when it comes to school reading lists, yes, we get the school's reading list pretty much the very end of summer, and we try to purchase as many copies as the school will need. So, and if not, then all they have to do is call Lila or someone in collection development, and somebody will make sure they get that done.
But this is something that we've coordinated with the school superintendent.
We presented this in front of the principals and the school superintendent last week, with the caveat that we have to approve it here tonight. And they were very excited.
And they said that they needed it.
Mm-hmm. They actually sent out it.
A lot of times, I know at Marpaw, we would have one cart per hall. So you either had to shove the cart from class to class, what teacher was using it, or the kids had to come into my classroom and get the stuff and then interrupt my class at the end to bring them back. So, and we had to coordinate who was going to use them when. It was
exhausting. And I think that a lot of the money they got to purchase these laptops for these students, you know, in like 6th through 12, that was like CARES Act money from COVID, and a lot of those devices are breaking down,
right?
You know, and they don't have the money to replace them. So this is actually.
And then you have some of your schools like Mount Hall that I know that their high school doesn't laptops.
They do not.
Frost, their junior high does not have laptops.
So this is going to be just a massive overhaul. So are we delivering it to every school?
As needed.
Okay.
If the teacher wants it, then she has the opportunity. And it may not go over at all. The teachers, the principals were very excited about it. They saw a need for it. But it's up to each individual teacher if they even want to do it. And we only have so many, we can't roll it out to everybody. And if, you know, we'll see how it goes. It's one of those things that we've never done this. They've never done it. It mm-hmm. may be great. It may be...
Is this like what you were talking about last time whenever the elderly wanted to come in and check out and you could follow what was popular?
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
So we're keeping a log of what they're watching and doing on computers.
We are not, no. I mean, as far as like if they want something in particular, they'll tell us. No, once they're finished with this, it's wiped. We don't want to keep anybody's information.
Okay. So that's
Once the schools are done with it, and it's the same way if you check out an iPad from the circulation desk, once you bring it in, there's a button and it gets wiped.
if you have it done yourself before you bring it to us, it gets white. And then ready for the next year. So whenever we said that, I was white. No, I mean, that's as far as, like, they come in and they tell us, oh, I want more Amish books. Not that we're keeping track of that now.
So how will they be distributed? Will they be held all at the main branch and then they go from there?
They're kept all at admin, and as the teachers, as someone wants it, they put a hold on it and we bring it, we can either bring it to the school if outreach has time to do that, or the teacher can pick it up at the branch that they're closest to. So it's just like a hold you would put on a book. And I'm
going to
transport on that way.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a great idea. A lot more work for the librarians.
And that's the iPads. And anybody else have any more questions? And y'all can always call and ask if, you know, policy changes and things change. Just tell me the plan. Yes. Everything is involved within that same grant.
Okay, and who's that grant for?
That grant was through...
I thought it was federal company.
It was a federal, through the Board of Regents. Mm-hmm. It was a federal grant. Dennis Prince Walker Branch carpet replacement and moisture mitigation. That's something that's been ongoing. You just received. I know you sat in on some things, but you may not know what's going on with that. So the Dennis Springs Branch is getting carpet replacement, and when they went to do that, they found out that the subflooring, how they have to lay it now, is not the way they did it back when they built the building. So they have to have a moisture mitigation, which they did. So we will be having that carpet replacement the third week in November, and Dennis Springs will close from the third week in November until maybe January 1st. So that staff will be, it's because of the moisture mitigation is the problem. So the staff from Denham will be divvied out between the rest of the branches to do special projects like special weeding and maybe inventory and things like that. So we have plans for them. that month. We're hoping that it will not be that long, but with the moisture mitigation, they told us to plan for that. So as soon as,
I'm sorry, what's the date, November?
The third week in November, so it's the right after the election. Yes, we're voting. Yes.
It's Thanksgiving
week. Because we're very slow Thanksgiving week anyway. So we're going to play that, and then hopefully, because that's usually our slowest time of the year, is around Christmas and stuff like that. So.
And with any kind of major project like this, we're hoping to overestimate which is almost 37 days. We're hoping that's an overestimation on their part, that they're actually complete sooner. For instance, whenever the Watson branch out there is done, earlier this year they completed it in 2 weeks.
Yeah, like 2 weeks.
It's almost 5 weeks out, right. And I'm hoping that's what's going to happen.
Right. We're at the mercy of the people that move the shelving. There's only one company that picks up the bookshelves. Because otherwise you have to, nobody wants to empty all the shelves. So he has a machine that moves the shelves completely, and they have to be moved from one spot to the next, to one side of the branch to the other, while the carpet, the moisture thing is done. And it's a process, and we're at the mercy of that individual, too, when he has time, because there's only one company. Okay. All right. And I did want to give y'all a really quick overview of summer reading before we get into new business. I don't know if y'all saw on Facebook, but we had a great summer reading. We are back to 2019 numbers, which has been our strongest year to date when it comes to summer reading, and actually just attendance in general. So we had 4,275 registrations for summer reading. That is adult and children and teens, which is strong. We had 2,916 completions. We had 1,300 adult and passive programs that went on for the summer. Attendance for that. Youth passive and programs was 13,210 for passive and programs for the youth, and teen passive in programs. So passives, if y'all don't know what that is, just to give you an idea, we set out a craft for the children to do themselves or the adults to come and take. So that's what a passive is. So we keep those numbers as people take them or do them in the library. So we count those as the stats too. And with the programs and passive, those are the things you're hearing. So the teens, passive, and programs, which, you know, we love our teens, but they just don't come in enough. 619. So that gave us a total of 15,141 attendance for passive and programs. I wanted to give you just a little overview of the programs that we did. The Barnhill Preserve program had 771 attendance by itself.
Wow.
That one program. So in this branch, I think we did close to almost 200. Here, denim, of course, always surpasses. As a big picture, we'll have to do two there. And South had so many people in their little branch that they had to do it outside of the meeting room and inside the branch itself. There were so many people there. So Harvey Rabbit, of course, always does well. Harvey did 449 people in attendance. Jonette Downing, who, you know, is a local author and does local books, she did 344. And Mitch the Magician was amazing. If y'all didn't catch Mitch, y'all should catch him next year because I'm sure he's going to come back. 707 attendees for Mitch the Magician. And Crescent Circus, which was something new to us this year, did 519. They were amazing. And that was the very last program at the end of summer, which usually starts to wane off, but that's a pretty significant amount of people for that program. Let's see, I think that sounds about right. So we had a very strong summer reading. Any questions about summer reading?
Who won the party?
So, the pizza party is a moment of contingency right now because our friends at the library needs to get reformed, and we're working on that now. And those kind of things have to be paid for by the friends or donated to us. So the staff is just mad at me because we don't have our friends right now.
They're not getting their pizza.
So, yeah, so once that happens, we'll go back and do pizza party once we get our friends up and running. So, any questions? That is the state of the library.
It was a busy summer.
It was a very busy summer. We had a ton of people. It was very busy.
A lot of projects.
All right, we're on to new business. Mr. Ronnie, I don't know if y'all know this, if you've looked at the calendar, but the regular meeting for November is on the 21st, which is the week of Thanksgiving. If y'all want to leave it at that, that's fine. But we thought you may want to move it to the week before, which would be the 14th, and in order to do that, y'all have to vote on it. So that is totally up to y'all, but we just wanted to bring that to your attention if no one had noticed that it's the week of Thanksgiving.
I go for the 14th myself.
All right.
I'm not making a motion. I don't
know. All right, Miss Abby, you get a chance to make your first motion.
Yeah, late.
All right, Miss Abby made the first motion. I need a second for that, please. Oh. All right.
It's been moved and seconded, Michelle.
All right, Miss Ronnie?
Yes.
Miss Abby?
Yes.
Miss Kathy DeGeneres?
Yes.
Miss Melissa
Yes.
Mr. Larry Davis?
Yes, ma'am.
Miss Wendy Neal?
Yes.
Ms. Francine Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Abby Crosby?
Yes.
And Mr. Stephen?
Yes. 14th.
All right. We've got that for the 14th. And then request for new card holder. So we have, just so everyone is aware, we have three credit cards in this file.
Oh,
somebody's walking the dog. We have three credit cards in the system now. I have one. Dustin is getting one and hasn't come in yet, and our administrative assistant holds one. Right after the new one came in for me, it got hit with fraud. So that put us down because Dustin's hasn't come in yet to one credit card.
Oh,
so when you have to buy for programming and you have to pay for classes and you have to do all these things, it was very difficult. So what we would like to do is add a card holder for our HR person because she also uses the credit card on a daily basis, but she uses it quite often for hiring and running background checks and those kind of things. And she would be the card holder for when the two of us are out and have our cards with us.
Do you get yours straight yet?
Mine is straight, finally. But they still haven't one for Dustin yet. So right now there's only two in the office, and with the amount of programming and purchasing we do, that's a lot. So we're just asking to add that one additional card holder in case one of us gets hit with fraud again. That leaves us, because once that happens, they close the card down until they take care of the issue.
So my question would be, okay, so you have Dustin, you have you, and you have your administrative assistant.
Right.
Why do we need to give HR a card? Why can't she just get the numbers?
Because at one time we were down to one card, and it has happened, you know, when Ryan and Jennifer were here, and they probably should have done this, and it was on their agenda to talk about to do it, because we've had two cards hit with fraud at one time.
And my main point for that question is, I would probably rather a librarian have the fourth card. I don't understand why.
Well, if she's a holder for it, it's not going to be, you know, designated just to her. If she's holding it in the office when the three of us as administrators are out, she's in administration. It's not in a branch somewhere.
So you consider HR part of administration? That's not a separate.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. So this human. So when they launch an investigation, is administration in on that investigation? I thought, in my understanding, I thought human resources functions outside of the admin. Like they have their own set office to make sure employees are heard or ethics or things like that.
She does have her own office. I mean,
no, not in her own office, her own capacity. So she's a human resource officer, but she's a human resource. So if I have a complaint, I'm not going to go to Dustin, you, the administrator.
You're going to go to HR.
Correct.
You don't hear any of that. No, she does. But, I mean, she's in the administration building. Does that make more sense? I mean, I'm not exactly sure. Yes?
I'm just asking a question. So each card has a different number?
Yes.
So each card has a different number.
Yes.
But it's the same.
Account.
Credit card?
It's the same account.
Same account.
But it has different numbers.
Okay. No, I was just asking. Right. Me and my husband have the same credit card account, but I have a card and he has a card. And it used to be the same number, but now it's two different numbers.
Right.
So that's what they're doing.
Yeah. Okay.
We need a motion.
Do we need to make a motion?
Yes.
I make a motion to create one more credit card holder position. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Makes a total of 4 or 5.
Four. Second.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded, Michelle.
All right. Mr. Ryan Pass?
Yes.
Ms. Ivy Graham?
Yes.
Ms. Kathy DeGeneres?
Yes.
Ms. Melissa Anderson?
Yes.
Ms. Larry Davis?
No, ma'am.
Ms. Wendy Neal?
Yes.
Ms. Francine Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Abby Crosby?
Yes.
And Mr. Stephen.
Yes.
All right, and then the next is going to be policy changes for approval and then events and adoption. Sorry.
Good afternoon, everyone. I always get the fun stuff.
But you're the fun guy.
So I'm going to go over just some of these policy changes. A lot of these are very simple, real quick. So, Code 2201, which is the library board defined, the only thing that we're changing here is that there are 9 appointed members for this body, not 70, which is already an existing thing, but it's changed in policy. Anybody have any questions about that? 2202, which is bylaws for Board of Control. At present, our quorum was, I believe, 4. So now we're having to move it to 5 and make it in line with law since we have 9 members on this board. That's all that one is. Anybody have any questions? Okay. Disposition of property, 2206. Basically, all I did with this policy was the existing policy we had in the manual itself referenced an old version of Louisiana Revised Statute 25151, which was out of date. It had been out of date for a couple of years when I looked into it. So my suggestion is just to remove the wording from that and then leave the link directly to the Louisiana law site so staff referencing this policy section can go to that and get the most updated version. Does anybody have any questions on this one?
No.
2209, money collections. This one is a change to the notes. This one was just how we run our money on a weekly basis. So the change is going to be as follows. Reports will be run weekly, covering the period from the previous Monday through Sunday. This necessitating the removal of monies from circulation desks and automatic vending service machines used for copy and print services to a designated secure office location on Monday before the branch opens or does any transactions for the week. This is to make sure they set aside the money from the week before. It is locked securely away and pulled before that any new transactions can happen for the week. Number two, monies and reports must be at headquarters by Thursday afternoon. This is a change from, currently it says Friday. Thursday is better. That's when our accountants come in. So that's why I want to take that out. Requiring each branch to complete the report, counting the monies and designated pickup time for deliveries is Thursday afternoon. Does anybody have any questions on this policy change?
No.
2219, disbursements. This one is basically changing. It says bills related to the library's collection development purchases are given to the head of collection development. This is, originally it was said assistant director on there because at the time when this policy was originally written, we didn't have a head of collection development. So the assistant director was purchasing a lot of stuff directly, hence over that budget. That has not been the case for a few years now. This is cleaning up our policy. Does anybody have any questions on this? Okay. Policy number 3312 is a copy of the Library Bill of Rights and Freedom to Read statement. Whenever I was looking for new policies that need to be updated based on dates, I found that we were missing Article 7 of the Library Bill of Rights. So this is just amending that to put that in there. And Article 7 says, all people, regardless of origin, age, background, or views, possess a right to privacy and confidentiality in their library use. Libraries should advocate for, educate about, and protect people's privacy, safeguarding all library use data, including personally identifiable information. So this will just add that Section 7 of that statement in there. There might be questions on this.
Yeah, what was the point of adding all people regardless of, like, doesn't, like, isn't there like a federal statute that already says regardless of race, gender? So what was that?
I think this is a reaffirmation of that. This was written by the American Library Association. I'm just updating the section that's in our policy.
We have to update the policy manual according to what is in the law.
Right.
Which law? The ALA law?
The federal law.
So it changed. I'm just asking, did it change?
I thought you referenced it.
I did. It's not this.
And according to this, sir, this says it was adopted by the ALA Council.
So I'm just asking, I really am. Mm-hmm. Did the federal law change to say all people?
We didn't have it in the policy at all.
So why can't we quote federal law?
He's updating the policy as it stands and what it needs to be updated. We're not rewriting anything or anything like that. These are things that the legislative auditor needs us to add. And we're at.
So why aren't we quoting federal law? Why are we saying, what is, because why can't it just say what the federal law states?
I think it does, basically. I mean, it's just saying that you...
Basically or verbatim? I mean, I don't know what we're getting frustrated about. Why can't it just say what the federal law states?
This is what
why can't you just quote...
We can mark it out if it's that big of a deal and it just won't be in the policy.
I think we're making it one. I'm just asking why I quote federal law. That's all I'm asking.
Mm-hmm. I think he's just making the recommendations based on what the auditor... found that was
so,
lacking and needed to be...
Mr. Davis, specifically for this section too, this Library Bill of Rights, which had already been accepted and adopted by this body at some point in the past, This is just an updated version of it. We're just updating it based on the 2019 updates from the ALA, which we hadn't done previously.
Okay. So not federal law, you're just updating it?
This
to,
is
to
updating
match,
based, right.
To match what was already, that's all I'm asking.
Right. So that's just we're adding Article 7, which they had added in 2019.
Doesn't the federal law supersede everything else? I'm just asking. Basically, what he's saying is federal law. It's just that is written for libraries.
Yeah. Federal law supersedes.
We can take the statement out and just say, you go back and look at federal law.
Can this is made to put the federal law in here instead of that statement?
Well, I don't think that's necessary. I'm going to say as long as this doesn't go against federal law,
right.
There's no reason.
It's written for libraries. Does that make sense?
So libraries function outside of the...
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that the statement has to reflect the organization that you're representing. I'm sure the school boards is a tweak of whatever...
No, ma'am, it's not. It's the one I grew up reading, no, regardless of sex or sex, gender, and that. I'm just asking, Michelle, listen, it's just a question. Why doesn't it just verbatim quote federal law?
Because
and y'all are saying that you're updating
for library policy, and that's
and we're just asking why.
Libraries. It's a library. We're giving what's in for library statement.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know how to explain it any better than that, except that
we can
write it out and put it, just go back and look at the bill.
So who wrote this?
So it is the standard that is written. ALA makes a lot of standards.
ALA
does not make policy. There are standards that libraries go by. And that's their new standard. That is the standard from 2019 that was never updated.
That's an association, not a federal government.
It is not. But okay. It is the standard that the libraries get some of their, get standards from.
I do.
To a certain point.
Every library.
They do not dictate policy. If you want
but it's
to
in our policy.
Policy, you can. It's already in the policy from when we adopted it originally, whenever that happened.
That's
this is the updated version
of that. Does this policy violate the Constitution?
Nothing.
Okay. Well, then there should be no issue with it. I make a move that we continue.
And that is...
3315 circulation services. We had updated this one in July. We want to make a couple of changes to this based on what Michelle described with these iPads earlier. The main thing is to, for adult staff borrower types and educator and senior citizen borrower types, we want to remove the e-reader material type because that is redundant, no longer being used without getting too deep in the weeds in our ILS system. We don't have e-readers as an item anymore. It's tablets now. So this is just removing that and putting tablets / iPad on there. So the educator borrower checkout limit originally was double what the regular patrons had a few years back. And then whenever this board agreed to move the total checkout limits to 40 per each item, the educator borrower type was not updated to be double anymore. So this is a request to change that from 40 to 80 total items. So, for instance, part of the reason why to do this as well, if an educator comes in and checks out the full three sets of these for a classroom, that will mean that they now have 33 items on your account because it's the 10 iPads in each box and the box themselves. So if they were still set at 40 items and they wanted to do stuff, normal books and materials for their class as well, that would curtail it. It would only have 7 options. So we wanted to double it up to 80 for that. Also, this just in general increases the facility use checkout to 60. So as far as the Discovery Mobile checkouts, there was kind of an archaic section in the policy manual that limited regular card types checkouts on the bookmobile. This was put in initially because we had a limited collection on the bookmobile at that time, and they were trying to be like, whenever they visited an area, they couldn't get cleared out immediately, so you limited like 2 books per person off the bookmobile or whatever. That's not the case anymore. We have a robust collection for it, and it can also go to other branches and pull items as needed to move into the bookmobile collection. So we wanted to remove that section. We will leave the policy stating that Livingston Parish Public Schools, whenever the kids use the e-cards to check anything out, as long as their parents have allowed them to do that by signing off on it, they are still limited to 3 items from the bookmobile. Mm-hmm. Does anybody have any questions about any of this? Okay. So moving on to outreach, section 3336. We realized when I was going through the thing, we had a one-sentence statement about our outreach, which we felt did not adequately express what we were currently
providing to our patrons. So I want to change that to our new statement about outreach to say, through the Discovery Mobile, the library will provide outreach services to those unable to reach any of the five branch locations due to distance, disability, or other limitations. It will provide physical collection materials as well as mobile Wi-Fi access to patrons at local retirement homes, assisted living facilities, local parks, churches, community centers, schools, daycares, and other locations across the parish. When applicable, it will also promote literacy in the business of the library by visiting local festivals and other community events and providing limited programs such as puppet shows and book and librarian sessions. It shall be our philosophy to provide as much service to these citizens as is practical with the means available to us. Does anybody have any questions about that? Section 3338, the sex offender policy. When I was looking through this, some of the wording we had in here was a little dated. So I had updated it to be a little more robust and also to clarify the statement of this policy, which is the purpose of this policy is to ensure that the Livingston Parish Library complies with Louisiana Revised Statute 1491-2 that excludes registered sex offenders convicted of offenses against victims under the age of 13 from Louisiana public libraries. And in the regulation section area, we wanted to change it to youth areas. So no sex offender shall be physically present in any area of the library designated as a children's area, teen area, or young adult area. And at peak youth hours, no sex offender shall be physically present on public library property during peak hours of youth usage, minors age 0 to 17. During the school year, these peak hours are defined as 2 p.m. to 8 p.m., during summer, it's 9 a.m. to 8 p.m., which is basically all day except for the dental branch, because we have children in the branches at all times, usually. Peak hours of youth use also include hours during which youth programs, so those that are labeled on our website and on our calendar as baby and toddler, elementary, preschool, teen, or tween are scheduled. In addition, we also noticed that in their exceptions to these restrictions, there was a section that allowed the library director unilaterally to waive a sex offender's restrictions. Michelle and I thought it would be best that the library director, as approved by the Board of Control, should this arise, y'all have to make a say in that as well as her. So it's not a unilateral decision of her allowing a sex offender to use the library during specified times that would otherwise be restricted. That's the statement.
Sex offender is not supposed to be within 1,000 feet,
yes,
of the property.
A public library property. Shall a lawyer.
And they should not be parks, schools, and other things where children visit. And it shouldn't be just at peak hours. It should be at all times because we never know when a child will be in here with a parent.
This goes along with that Louisiana revised statute. This section was already in the policy manual when I looked it up. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
It should adhere to that policy.
But I mean, we also need to have it outside in signs to be a deterrent. Also, with the revised statute law, to know that we need to protect our children in here. And
that would be something Michelle would have to.
That would be something that I would like to see put up, because I know Parks and Recreations do have that, and even some schools do have that that way. And then if you have someone, I don't know if there's a way that if someone comes in and wants to register for a thing, if y'all do any kind of check. Because it's public record, you can go up on the computer and get some and tell somebody else.
I'll have to broach this with Chris Moody, attorney before. I will say, I mean,
I've talked to him about the recreation board.
So let me talk to him about that, and I will get back with you next board meeting, and we'll discuss it. But yeah, I mean, before we start looking people up on the computer and stuff like that,
well, that was saying, so in our area, we should know within the right out area of the body.
But yeah, I'll definitely approach that with Chris Moody.
Do they still mail those things to your house?
Sometimes they do.
Sometimes.
It's public record. You can look them up on the computer.
Okay.
Or a zip code. But the thing is to have the signs that's kind of like a deterrent.
Yeah, because how do y'all enforce it if you don't even know who they are? it's just like a blanket policy, really, at that point.
It's a public building. I mean, anybody can walk in it, and we have to accost people as they're walking in and say, are you a sex offender?
No, that's not even what I'm saying. I'm just, I asked a question, how do y'all already do it? It's just, you don't have to accost anybody.
We would have to ask somebody if they walk in, and that's,
you talk about like a metal signage or something? Like
yeah,
a metal signage.
Because when we've been on the other boards, like we had somebody come in at the park and said, well, this is a known sex offender and they should not be at the park with these kids. And then you have to look it up and then you have to go and address that person and say, the sign is out here, this is the record, not trying to pull, but this is the law.
I'm not sure exactly how what we can do with that because
can you take a picture of some of the designs you're talking about in the park? I've never seen them in person. I don't look at them, but could you come in and make me the flyers and stuff? So can you take a picture and send it to me so I can see it and look at the video game for Chris Moody?
I also want to code you.
But no, I mean, if that's something that is on publicly funded property, something like that, I mean, a sign.
Probably
DPW can make them for you if they're there or something.
Yeah,
so
just so we can see.
Okay.
So if you could, that would be
nice.
Thank you.
Okay, so that concludes the section on policy adjustments.
I make a motion to accept all the policy adjustments as read.
I second it.
Does it recode on these individually or all together?
It's a blanket one. So if you guys want, if you wanted to, for instance, strike one individual, you guys probably need to do an amendment to the motion.
I mean, because I agree with all the policies except for, which that happened last time, we had to do that except for the changing of the Library Bill of Rights that last one.
Well, you could propose an amendment to accept what Fran said was accept as read. I think you can do an amendment to accept as read without making changes to not just the name of the normal policy section for that, which would be 3.312.
Could we possibly table 3.312 and look into it a little bit further and see if...
Well, I think I think a motion's already been made, so you have to make it like two at this point.
Who made the motion?
Fran made a motion, and we'll see.
Oh, I didn't hear.
Yeah.
Fran, you made the motion?
I did.
I did, and I second.
I made the motion to accept it as it was read, and then
Melissa
seconded.
She seconded?
Okay, and then Ms. Abby is making the amended motion to table.
So just table the one for that.
Yeah.
3.312.
Yes.
We got to vote on that.
So you have to,
amendment
you have to vote on the amendment.
Yeah,
vote on the amendment first. So we need a second for that.
For what?
For the amendment to the first motion.
So Ms. Crosby's thing is she wants to accept as read, except for to table discussion of 3.312 till later.
Yes. So then Abby has made that motion in this way.
So 3.312. Let's do this.
It's the library.
That's the
right.
Library.
Bill of Rights.
We wanted to do that. The original is the Library Bill of Rights, and it's also written by ALA. It's the same Library Bill.
Dustin, what was it? Just for thought, what was it written? What was it before 19? Is when it was adopted. What was it before 19?
It was adopted prior. It just didn't have that section.
It just didn't have that at all.
It just didn't have that. Apparently, that was added by ALA in 2019, and I'm just trying to update all the stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I get what you're doing.
Is anything? I don't get what's wrong with it.
Because it's from ALA.
No,
what's the word say? Yeah. Words sound fine to me.
No,
it's what?
Because it's federal law supersedes it. Because
it matches up.
It matches.
Is there any difference?
It's just specific to the library. The library data.
It's the law written for the library. And because it's...
What's the difference in federal law and this?
It's taking
that's what I'm asking. What's the difference between a library and every other public building or a school or federal building or organization or Fortune 500 company?
Updating what was already in policy to update it to the 2019 version. That's it. That's, I mean, it's not changing there. It's that part, that one section, and that's it.
What are we going to say different in the new one?
Just what Dustin
said. I can't.
Dustin, can you read
it? Okay,
that?
So the motion that's on the floor right now, which Ms. Crosby did and Mr. Davis seconded, is to accept the amendments that I proposed as read, with the exception of tabling 3312 for later discussion.
So what if
but
you,
what does
I, if I
what
was
to
say?
If I don't want to table it, how would I vote?
No.
On the amendment?
Then you right. Then okay. This is yeah,
so
this one
vote
is supersedes the one
on the initial and then we vote on
you
it.
Vote on the amendment first
and then
right?
No, it's pancakes, right? So the amendment should go
first. Right.
Yeah, the amendment goes first.
Pancakes.
Let's get this straight. Everybody straight on this?
Yes, sir.
So the amendment first, that is to leave it out and discuss it later. So, Mr. Ronnie?
No.
Ms. Ivy?
No.
Ms. Kathy?
No.
Ms. Melissa?
No.
Mr. Larry?
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Wendy Neal?
No.
Ms. Francine Smith?
No.
Ms. Ed Crosby?
Yes.
Mr. Stephen Ryan?
No.
Okay. Now we're going back to the original motion from Ms. Cran and seconded by Ms. Melissa.
Sorry.
Mr. Ryan?
Yes.
Ms. Ivy?
Yes.
Ms. Kathy?
Yes.
Ms. Melissa?
Yes.
Mr. Larry?
No, ma'am.
Ms. Wendy?
Yes.
Ms. Fran?
Yes.
Ms. Abby?
No.
And Mr. Sheehy?
Yes.
Okay. All right. The next part of new business is also going to be given by Justin, and that is disposal of items, and that's the surplus.
So we have a few items here. Six total items. Well, nine to count three over. These materials are all damaged and need to be disposed of. We have an Epson digital printer, which used to be in this room, which earlier this year, right before summer reading, burned out. And eight started eating the replacement bulbs that we put in it and had an electrical short, so it's been replaced, but we need to get rid of it. It's broken equipment. We have a Brawler fax machine from the Albany Springfield branch, which served to be described by a lightning strike. That one has already been replaced. Just need to permission to get rid of the burnt one. We have a popcorn machine, which, had previously been used in various branches for large events. It's one of the old school ones, the glass ones. Heating elements completely fused in it. I couldn't even get the thing open to be able to look at the maintenance, so we're going to get rid of that. We have a bird feeder station at South Branch, which we're not entirely sure whether it was weather or raccoons that destroyed it. So we need to get rid of it. There's an office credenza also at the South Branch. It was in the manager's office. This was an important piece of furniture because the managers would lock daily money, personnel documents, digital devices and stuff in it. And the locking mechanism broke on it completely and we could not get it open. So the drawers would not open at all. We had to have ACI, which is our maintenance company, on retainer come in and basically break into it to be able to get all the devices and money out of it. So we need to get rid of this piece of office furniture and replace it. And then we had three under-desk keyboard trays for office desks. They're little metal trays that kind of swivel out, and they have, anyway, after you hit your knee on it a few times, I think that's why they were all bent up. I'm pretty sure people would mess them up. So I just need permission to discard them. So this is all just broken stuff. Do you have any questions about any of
it? I got a question. So sure. Is there a dollar amount?
We actually asked about it because... Some of this seems pretty nitpicky, but we're just following in what had been done previously here. We want to get...
That's cool.
I mean, we're not going to be like, stapler is broken. But anything that was... Yeah.
She gave us a guideline to go by, and so from now on, like some of this little smaller stuff won't be on the list. If it's computers and things like that, it's kind of what she did.
She basically said, yeah, we would need to discuss with the board, and they probably need to vote to set a number and put in a policy at some point like that. But she suggested that we always do furniture, like large furniture pieces, any electronic equipment, so we should also agree.
All
right, so surplus vote. Do I need a motion and a second?
I make a motion to surplus those items.
Thank you, Ms. Abby.
Michelle. It's been moved and seconded.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Ryan.
Yes.
Ms. Ivy.
Yes.
Ms. Kathy.
Yes.
Ms. Melissa.
Yes.
Ms. Larry.
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Mindy.
Yes.
Ms. Fran.
Yes.
Ms. Abby. Yes. Mr. Steve.
Yes.
All right.
Anybody got anything else?
Yeah, look, so I'm excited that we have David a part of the team.
Yeah.
So I'm just wondering, with upcoming events, David, and you just let me know if this is part of your purview or what, or if I'm just assigning you work. But we hear back last minute about new hires and events. And to be honest with you, I would like to be a part of some of the events. Come check them out. So, yeah. So if we as a board could get emailed like a newsletter, like at least a couple of weeks before the actual event takes place, so we can put it on our calendars and maybe, you know, make some time to be a part of that. That would be huge. So, so if that works, if that's okay with y'all as far as what David's job is.
So right now, the only person I think who can officially contact all of the show, y'all are okay having, like, me and David having y'all's emails as well?
Yes.
What you going to do with it, Dustin? I guess that's the better question.
That's fine.
I'm not going to listen to you, Dillary.
And I don't know. You never know.
That's fine.
And I don't know who's updating the Facebook post now. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Because that's how I keep up with everything, and I keep sharing it. And guys, share those links, because that lets the community know what's going on.
But real fast, I do want to let y'all know that October is a big month. October 21st, right here, we have the book festival, and today we announced the headliner. And
that. I know. I reposted that, and I had people screaming up screaming up my pants. Yeah.
Eric.
Lip. Pete the cat. I'm so excited.
That is October 21st.
Pete the cat guy. Pete the cat guy is going to be here.
That is Trunk or Treats.
That's here. Trunk or Treats here.
We did it for the first time. Yeah, we're partnering. Livingston will have.
No, Chalk or Treat that we're doing. We're going to be participating in SAG Chalk or Treat the day after.
On the 22nd. October 22nd.
Yes. We're good, but that's not our thing. We actually have Chalk or Treat here the Saturday after Book Festival's October 28th.
Right. Cool.
So that's like our own thing, but we'll be in SAG the day after Book Festival.
Very cool. Okay.
Yeah, we did the Chalk or Treat here for the first time last year, and it was huge.
We'll have police here, so we'll be there.
So, the police department's going to be here with, I think they're going to bring the canine.
We haven't got the fire on that.
No, we're not good.
We'll wait until we know. But we will have a
call for you guys.
Yes.
We'll be safe. So.
Thank you for the post. They've been on Facebook.
Absolutely.
They've been lovely.
Michelle has my cell, and some of y'all already have my cell. So,
because I was thinking if you could post these pages so we can start sending it out to let people, particularly this second page, we can let people know, hey, here's what the library has done this last year, so when the voting comes around, hey, y'all need to vote it in, because this is it. A lot of people that are my friends on Facebook don't use the library, but they get excited that there's so many activities being done for others.
Yeah.
So y'all can share this?
We cannot ask for a vote. We can say
voting is this day, voting is here.
Oh.
These are the good things that we've done, but we can't say, can we vote for it? But we're trying to make sure that that is true. Okay. No, I just want to be over us. Okay. We're actually asking for advice on that right now. And as soon as I know, I will email y'all out.
I've been talking it up.
Well, anytime you're hesitant.
It's basically when you're off the clock.
As long as you're off the clock and you're not ready.
We're not on the clock. Don't be post during the meeting. Yeah, we're not on the clock.
If you're advocating as a citizen, yes. I'm not the library board director, but if I'm talking to my family and friends, and I'm not on the clock, I'm Michelle. I'm a citizen of Parrish. That's our meeting
right now. Got anything else?
Is that right? Yes, sir.
So you had told me last time we talked that we could actually volunteer and stuff.
Y'all absolutely can come to the book fest and participate. We will give y'all jobs.
All right.
do it.
If y'all want to come and do that, absolutely. Yes, ma'am.
Oh, no, I was waiting. Oh. Yes, I'm famous for my face painting back in the day.
Ooh.
Anything else?
Sure.
All in favor of adjourning, stand up.
We keep it.